you've written a book called Awakening the Sleeping Tiger Within, Breaking the Power of Mainstream Media's Portrayal of Islam and the War on Terror. Before we even get into the book, I noticed that on your subtitle, you've put the War on Terror in quotations. That made me curious. Can you say why?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank you so much. I'm honored to be on your program, and I'm honored to have the time to tell the accurate reflection of Islam and the effect of the, quote, war on terrorism. The reason I put it in quotes is because there's an author by the name of Aronson. His first name is Trevor, and he wrote The Terror Factory. He reviewed 500 cases of alleged Muslim terrorists in the United States. And what he found was that less than 1% actually had a weapon or were tied to some international terrorists. All the others either lied to a government agency, were mentally ill, unemployed, or homeless. They were Muslim youth who were lured and set up by a government agency. There are many, many documented cases where some in the FBI lure vulnerable and mentally ill Muslim youth to commit illegal acts, and then it's publicized that they are terrorists.
Well, from your answer, I'm going to guess that it's probably pretty obvious what your motivation was to write this book, what you saw as the need, but I'm going to let you address that just the same. So what motivated you to write The Awakening of the Sleeping Tiger Within?
Actually, I couldn't sit back and do nothing after hearing all the biased, inaccurate reporting who were not even Muslim, who had their own agenda, telling us what Muslims believe, making up things like if you kill a person, then you have 72 virgins in heaven, which actually our holy book says if you kill one person, it's as if you killed all of humanity. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to explain the accurate information about Islam, the reasons for false propaganda being spread, try to help our youth, and make some recommendations for society at large.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, your own background, and what it was that in your own background drove you to write this. And you live in Dearborn, is that right?
Yes, I live in Dearborn, and most of my life I live among Muslims and Arabs. Mm-hmm. And the accurate information is I found them to be very, very kind, honest, hospitable, God-fearing people. And if they have one negative quality, it's their passivity. So how else do you explain allowing people to besmirch you and your religion without any legal recourse?
Let's start with the basics. Who are the Muslims, and what is Islam? Because I'm going to guess that a lot of people don't even know.
And you're correct. And I'd like to explain to your radio audience that Islam, Christianity, and Judaism are all monotheistic religions. All believe in one God. And in the Holy Book, it said Christians and Jewish people are people of the book, to be respected and loved. And we're even supposed to fast when the days of fasting of other religions are upon us or upon them, because we're all one family in humanity. Islam also believes in the Virgin Mary, the virgin birth, and that Jesus performed many miracles through God, and Jesus is revered as a holy prophet and Savior who will return in the last days. He's mentioned many times in our holy book along with the Virgin Mary. Islam, the word, actually means peace and submission to God. So Muslims do not in any way, and I'll repeat that, they do not in any way support or condone ISIS or any other terrorist group. And anyone of any religion can go to heaven if a person believes in God and does good deeds. We're supposed to help the poor and the oppressed, regardless of their religion or if they have no religion. That is Islam.
So would it be your wish that when there are terrorists out there, we not refer to them by their religion at all? Would that help?
Exactly. That's what happens when you had the Oklahoma bomber. They didn't say, Timothy McVeigh is a Catholic terrorist. No, they said he bombed the federal building.
What are the reasons, the motives, that you, as you see them, for negative coverage of Arabs, of Muslims?
I see it as political. I can tell you that when I was 16, I heard on the radio, all Palestinians, or they said Palestinians are terrorists. And I thought, how ludicrous to have a segment of the population and just make that gross overgeneralization. It's just not true. And then 20 years later, I heard Arabs are terrorists. So that's everyone in the Middle East. And then I heard Muslims are terrorists. So that's approximately 1.5 to 2 billion people as terrorists. So, yes, the motive is political. It's used as a rationalization for political and financial power, and a rationalization for settlement expansion in Israel. So if you listen to the news media, you'll usually see that there is a pro-Israeli, anti-Muslim, anti-Arab bias. And because of the news media coverage in the mainstream media, now there's a 67% rise in hate crimes towards Muslims.
When we want to hear the facts and we want to hear the truth, what is it that we should look for or listen for? What would you suggest to make sure that we're getting as objective a report as possible?
My recommendation to your listening audience is not to believe one source of news media, to please view multiple sources. I know it makes it harder on people, but they really need to do more research and more work and make sure that the sources they look at present balanced sides, not just the sensationalistic ones. That's my recommendation.
Forms of psychological warfare and its effect. Talk about that.
There are, according to a declassified CIA document, and I won't tell the exact number unless you want it, psychological warfare is a military tactic used to undermine the enemy's will and their capacity to resist. The forms are demoralization, and that's what you see when they're trying to call Muslims terrorists, and they want to make them inactive, paralyzed, and do nothing, even though they're abused and provoked. And the other is persuasion and encouragement, saying things to make them want to do something that is illegal. The effects of psychological warfare really are to degrade and dehumanize a group. They would like people who are not Muslim to be dismissive about Muslims' human and political rights.
How Trump presidency endorses political goals of the powerful. I wonder if you could address that as well.
The Trump presidency, from what we're seeing now, corresponds with the political aims of some of the rich and powerful, which we would probably call the right wing. And some of the rich and powerful in Israel, which is called the militant right wing. And you saw that after Trump took office, Netanyahu, or President Trump took office, Netanyahu announced construction of 2,500 more settlements. Then he announced a total of 5,500 new settlements. And just yesterday, President Trump told Netanyahu to hold off on constructing these settlements until he talks to him on February 15th. So in the United States, you'll see, and there was already in the U.S. Senate unanimously passed constitutionally dubious Anti-Semitic Awareness Act in December 2016. This cracks down on activism for Palestinian human rights on college campuses. And if this continued in the House of Congress, then you can't even question if Israel is a democracy. On the other hand, notice that it's called freedom of speech to call 1.5 billion Muslims terrorists. So these are just some things that are not correct with the political aims of some of the rich and powerful, the right wing in the U.S. and the militant right wing in Israel. And I could name more things, such as moving the embassy to Jerusalem, revoking the Iranian nuclear treaty, removing Palestinians off their own land, and breaking up nearby Arab states into mini states. These are some of what Israel wants.
So let's go back to your book, Awakening the Sleeping Tiger Within. I wonder if you could explain that title more, the significance of Sleeping Tiger.
When I talked about all the positive points of the Muslims and Arabs, I said that the one negative point was their passivity. Mm-hmm. And scholars for many years have called Dearborn the sleeping tiger, because if the people weren't so passive, then they could be a really wonderful force for activism, political activism, legal activism. And so that's what the sleeping tiger is all about, for people to wake up. And now not just Dearborn, but I'm so happy that all of our Christian and Jewish, the people without religion and with religion, how they are standing up for the Muslims' rights, the Hispanics' rights, and African-American rights, instead of endorsing the Muslim ban and the wall in Mexico.
The executive order on immigration or Muslim ban, what are your feelings about that? How should we change that? Did you see the vetting process that we already had for immigration as sufficient? Your views on that?
Yes, I think Obama tried to do a very balanced job. And now with Trump's Muslim ban, many in the community do not feel safe. They feel scared. Some are personally affected by the travel ban. And on the other side, many are becoming more politically active, holding town hall meetings and interfaith meetings. But if you look at the Muslim ban, from 1975 to 2015, there have been zero, and I'll repeat that, zero, no terrorist attacks performed in the United States from anyone from any of those countries. And 14,800 professors of U.S. colleges and universities, including 50 Nobel laureates, signed a petition opposing President Trump's executive order on immigration. One professor at Harvard Business School, David Yoffe, at the International Business Administration, said the policy is a disgrace. He said, quote, "It's a lazy person's policy answer to a complex problem that was poorly conceived, inadequately reviewed, discriminatory, counterproductive, and fundamentally un-American," unquote. I think that about sums it up.
I wonder, too, Anne-Marie, if you have any stories of how it may have personally affected you, any of immigration stories or friends or family?
Well, I just need to say that on a personal level, I'm receiving phone calls and text messages of love and support from my Christian friends. some of whom I haven't even heard of in years. And we feel supported by people of other religions. It looks to me as if the people who are the right wing, even though they're friends and business partners, regardless of their religion, but they try to use divide and conquer techniques on those of us who have less power, are less wealthy, and those who trust the media to divide us on the basis of our religion, race, and ethnicity. And in that way, the right wing can maintain their power, control, and financial profit. So we need to be smart enough not to let anyone divide us. And there are many stories of immigrants who have been turned back. And if you notice now, the people who are green card holders can come in the country. But the immigration Muslim ban, and it is a Muslim ban, it looks like it's just trying to reduce the Muslim population in the United States. Why? Because it is the fastest growing religion in the United States and the world. So that is one reason why they'd like to suppress it.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you really want to share with us or tell us about your book?
I think you did a wonderful job. And I think the book is balanced. It gives information that they won't find in other places. And I think they need to do research to what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. And even President Trump, when Netanyahu said that he's going to be building now 5,500 settlements on Palestinian territory, which would make the two-state solution impossible, then President Trump said, well, wait until you come to the United States on February 15th. Wait until I talk with you. So I think President Trump is even having some second thoughts on the direction of what should happen in Palestine.
So it sounds like you're saying that all those protests and people getting out there and voicing their feelings about all of this is effective.
Yes, I really believe it is. And calling congressmen, their senators, and becoming more politically active and having their voice heard. That's the American way. Dissent is not disloyalty. It's being a patriotic citizen. And I thank you for your courage, and I feel honored that you'd have me speak on your radio show.